If you have your Bible and want to share the reading of the Word with me, turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse number 19. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. We're going to read verse 19 through verse number 23 this morning. This book, of course, is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And in chapter 1, verse number 19, he writes and he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus Christ, in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself." God the Father utilized Christ to reconcile things to himself. He said, "By him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." I love this. "To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If," everybody say if. How many of you know sometimes if throws a kink in everything? "If ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning, ask you to bow your heads and let's pray and entreat the Lord for his anointing to minister his precious word, all right? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we have the opportunity this morning to be in the house of the Lord and to lift up our praise unto your wonderful and mighty name. We are thankful this morning for your promise that when we gather in your name, you are in our midst. And we're thankful this morning, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. And now, Lord, we come to the reading of your holy word. And Father, I would just ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding that we may receive revelation knowledge here this morning concerning your word. I pray that you would cause me to be effective, to be a blessing to your people. Amen. Bless me to be a blessing. Anoint me. Put your word in my mind, your word in my mouth, and let it come forth under the anointing and with power. I pray, Father, that whatever that's done here this morning, with everything, let Christ be glorified, let him be exalted, and let him be lifted up, and let our hearts be edified. And we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks for it. And we ask it this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, "Moved Away from the Unmovable." Moved away from the unmovable. As we begin to look at the text that we have read and that we've shared this morning, let me point out just a few things that I think are both beautiful and so encouraging. Look at verse 19 once again. And verse 19 says that it pleased the Father. It pleased God, the Father, that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. In Christ, you will find everything. Amen. It pleased the Father, meaning that God the Father literally took delight in making Christ the head of all things. We often say the words, but sometimes we let the meaning escape us. He truly is King of kings and Lord of lords. In him the fullness of God dwells. And then furthermore, in verse number 20 makes it clear that it pleased God to reconcile all things unto himself through Christ, who is made, amen, or who has become our redemption. He has become our reconciliation. Look again at verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, he made peace by his precious blood. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, amen, by Jesus Christ, God chose to reconcile all things unto himself. In other words, God used Jesus to make peace between sinful man and himself by the work of the cross. Do you remember when Jesus was born? And we use this setting of scripture often around Christmas time, but it's applicable for our sermon today. Amen. Do you remember when Jesus was born? And in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible said that the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let me just tell you this morning, he was not talking about peace between men. There have been more wars fought since Christ was born, amen, than probably before his birth. He wasn't talking about peace between men. He was talking about peace between God and man. He was saying that this child will bring peace between God and man. He will bring reconciliation from heaven to humanity. He wasn't talking about some earthly utopia that's coming in the millennial kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. But he was talking about peace being made between God and man. And so it says it pleased God by the sacrifice of Christ to make peace through his blood, through the blood of the cross, and to reconcile us unto God the Father. And I don't know about you, but that to me is absolutely beautiful, and it is absolutely encouraging. God instigated everything. The reason I think it's so beautiful and encouraging is because it reveals what motivated God to do what he has done. It reveals to us what motivated God to reconcile us back to himself. It pleased him. It was his good pleasure. Let me just give you an illustration. When I was putting this message together, I thought, how could I illustrate what I'm trying to say? Think back when you were a child and you came home with exciting, amen, you just had some exciting news that you wanted to share with your parents. And you come walking in the house and you were just on cloud nine, and you come walking in and you had this secret down in your heart. You just couldn't wait to share it with them. And you explained to them your wonderful, exciting news, and they looked at you and went, "All right, whatever." Didn't it kind of take a little out of your sail? I mean, didn't it kind of just put a damper on things? Now think in terms of coming to God. And we say, "Lord, you know, I am so thankful and I'm so excited that you have redeemed me. And I'm so excited that you have reconciled me back unto yourself." What if God went, "Well, no big deal. Whatever." No, that's not God at all. God is just as excited about your redemption as you are. When we come to God and we are saying, Lord, I'm so excited that you saved my soul and you delivered me from the snare of the fowler and you picked me up out of a horrible pit and put my feet on a solid rock. God goes, I know, isn't it wonderful? I love you so much. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Amen. So when it comes to our salvation this morning, when it comes to our salvation, let me put it another way. We didn't see something that we had to have. God looked down and saw something that he had to have. Amen. He said, I need to redeem them. I need to pick them up out of their fallen state. And I need to make a way for them to be reconciled unto me. It pleased God. It pleased him, amen, for all of the fullness, all fullness to dwell in Christ. It was his good pleasure. It was his delight. It was his desire. It was his pleasure to put his stamp of approval upon us, amen. And I don't know about you, but that is a beautiful and encouraging thing, amen. We did not just choose the Lord, but he chose us. Now look at verse number 22, or verse number 21 and 22. Paul is reminding them of two things. He is reminding them, number one, of where they were. He's reminding them of their former condition. And secondly, he is reminding them of where they are now. Verse 21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he's describing to them what their former condition was. He said, before Jesus came, you were alienated, you were estranged, you were separated. Amen. You were over in your corner and God was over in his corner. You were separated from God. You were alienated from God. But he says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. He tells them that they were alienated from God. They were the enemies of God. Their wicked, sinful nature had separated them from the presence of God. But he said, now that Jesus has come and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are made holy and unblameable. Amen. And you have been made unreprovable in the sight of the Lord. In other words, when God sees us, he no longer sees our sin, but he sees the precious blood of his son. Amen. When the blood has been applied, how many of you remember when God got ready to move the children of Israel up out of Egypt's bondage, and he had sent plague after plague after plague, and the final plague was about to land, amen, upon Egypt. And God said to the children of Israel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a lamb and slay that spotless lamb, and I want you to put the blood of that lamb upon your doorposts. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hey, I came to tell you this morning that if the blood has been applied to your heart, if the blood has been applied to your life, amen, that God no longer sees our sin, but he sees us washed in the blood and made right by his son and reconciled unto himself, and we made holy, amen, and unreprovable in the sight of the Lord. He no longer sees us with a fiery judgment in his eyes, but he looks at us and he sees that we are washed and that we are covered and that we are cleansed by the power of the blood of the cross of Christ, who all fullness dwells in. Glory to God. Amen. There's old hymn that says, what can wash me? Amen. What can make me white as snow? What can wash me from my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's only one way to get to God the Father, and it is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Take a bath at the foot of Calvary. Amen. Take a bath at the foot of Calvary's cross, and you'll come away clean by the power of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. So let me give you some historical context as to why Paul is writing. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae to combat false teaching. He is writing to the church of Colossae, amen, because there was those that were teaching that Christ had not come in the flesh. It's called Gnosticism. They were Gnostic. Amen. It was a false doctrine that had infiltrated the church, and they were teaching that Christ had not come in the flesh. And I don't want to spend a large amount of time talking about, amen, a false doctrine, but they, amen, basically they had rejected the fact that the Son of God had came in the flesh. How many of you know that's critical to our salvation? Amen. They were perverting the gospel, and Paul is writing to them to tell them and to cause them to understand. Amen. No, you don't get it. In him, in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in him. If it had not been for him, amen, God would not have reconciled us unto himself. But if you want to be reconciled to God, then it comes through the Son, who is the head of all things. Amen. He's reminding them of where they once were and now where they are because of the work of the cross and because of the preeminence of Christ. Because of who Jesus is. And then he comes to the 23rd verse with a warning. And that warning is this. Look at verse number 23. That warning is this. He tells them basically that they can only remain holy and unblameable and unreprovable if they continue and be not moved away. Let me read verse 21, 22, and 23 in succession. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, through Christ, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, the death of the cross, to present you unto God holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If, verse 23, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I'm talking this morning about being moved away from the unmovable. Amen. Paul tells them that there is a necessity for us to continue in our faith. How many of you know this morning that we receive Christ by faith? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, faith comes into our heart and we believe, and faith brings us to grace, and we are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Oftentimes after we have been saved by grace, amen, through faith, amen, oftentimes afterwards, the notion begins to creep into our heart that we are continuing to be saved by our good works or by our good deeds.
In other words, we're saved by faith, but oftentimes if we're not careful, the tendency to believe that we stay saved is by our works. I came to tell you this morning that that couldn't be, amen, that couldn't be further from the truth. We are saved by faith, and we continue to be saved in faith. It is not of works. The Bible said, lest any man should boast. Yes, we are to be a people of good works. But let me just tell you, our good works do not save us, and our good works do not keep us saved. It is only the faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said we must continue in faith. Yes, we are to be a people of good works. We ought to bring forth fruit that proves that we have repented. We ought to be the most good working people on the planet. We ought to do good to everyone, especially those who are of the faith. But our good works did not save us and cannot save us. The only thing that can keep us saved and anchored in Christ Jesus is Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. If we continue in faith, in order to continue to be redeemed, we must continue in faith. He says, if we continue in faith. In other words, amen, if faith brought you to the dance, amen, there ain't nothing but faith can take you home. Amen, what do you mean, Pastor Gary? I'm saying that faith alone brought us to salvation, and it is a continuance in faith alone that will see us through all the way to heaven's shore. Amen, just because we were saved by grace, amen, by our faith in God, amen, does not mean that now our good works are going to keep us saved or keep us to heaven's shore. That's what happened to the Galatian church. They started out right, and Paul said, what happened to you? You did run well. I marvel, he said, that you have been so quickly removed from the gospel. Amen. That gospel is simply faith in Christ. Amen. And then he says, amen, faith, amen, continue in faith and continue to be grounded and settled. Grounded and settled. How many of you know some people give their heart to the Lord, but they never get grounded? They never get settled. Amen. Let me just tell you what grounded and settled means. It means to be anchored, to be established, to be substantiated, to be supported, amen, to be upheld, to have a firm foundation, to allow your roots to get down deep in the soil of the gospel, amen, and get anchored in Christ, amen. We need not only to continue in faith, but we need to be grounded and settled, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58 says these words, and the Apostle Paul once again is writing, and he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor unto the Lord is not in vain. In other words, what he's saying, amen, is don't be in one day and out the next day. Don't be up one day and down the next day. Amen. Get in or get out. Make up your mind that we're going to serve the Lord. Be resolute about it. Amen. I've anchored in Jesus and the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in the Lord and my heart will not turn back. Amen. I've made up my mind. I've grounded and settled in God. Amen. 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 Being grounded and rooted. Think of a tree in your yard. And you plant that tree. What happens if you dig it up the following spring? Well, I don't like where it's at, so I'm going to dig it up and move it over there. You're hindering it getting settled. You're hindering it getting grounded. And you leave it there for another season and go, you know, I don't think I like it there either. And you dig it up and you pull it out and put it somewhere else. Are you hindering the growth of that tree? But if you get it in and leave it in, leave it in the soil where it can begin to put out its roots and begin to spread out and begin to anchor into the ground and to become grounded and rooted and settled. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Get in God. Get in the Word. Get in the Spirit of the Lord and get rooted and grounded. Amen. Don't allow your mind to be double-minded. Amen. Like Joshua, who said, you choose who you want to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Done made up my mind. Come hell, come high water, it doesn't matter. But my heart and my house belongs to the Lord. Grounded and settled. And he comes to the focal point of my text. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Be not moved away. Don't allow yourself to be relocated. Don't allow yourself, amen, to get repositioned. In other words, amen, don't get in and serve God for a few weeks and then fall out. Hello? Somebody said, well, I think I'll try it for a while. Let me just tell you something. Amen, this ain't something you just try. You either are or you ain't. I know that ain't good grammar, but I mean, you either are or you are not. How's that? Is that all right? Amen. You don't get transplanted and transferred. Amen. You get in God's Word and you get settled in God's Word and you get grounded in God's Word and you live by God's Word and you don't try to, amen, twist God's Word to fit your lifestyle, but you line your life up with the Word of God. Hello? Amen. Don't get shifted off of the mark. Don't allow yourself to be moved away from the unmovable. Because let me just share with you this morning, and this is the central focus of my message. Amen. The only thing that is movable in this whole thing is us. The only thing that is movable in any of this is us. So don't be moved away from the unmovable. Let me share with you four things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart as I studied and prepared for this service today. Four things that are absolutely unmovable. Amen. We should not allow ourselves to be moved because, number one, we have an unmovable God. Glory to God. We have an unmovable Father. Listen to what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. God, the Father, says, I am the Lord and I change not. Amen. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6, the Word of God declares, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no other God beside me. Amen. He is God and he is unmovable. I love this verse, Psalms 102, amen, verse 25 through 27. This is what it says. The psalmist said, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands, and they shall perish, but you, O God, shall endure. Yea, all of them, all of these things, amen, he said, shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But he goes on to say, but you, O God, thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. amen, realize this morning that we need not be moved away from the things of God, because we have a God that is from everlasting unto everlasting. He is the Ancient of Days. Amen. I came to tell you this morning that our God is unmovable. Amen. Number two, because we should not be moved, because we have an unmovable Savior. We have an unmovable Savior. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 says these words, that his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, the scripture declares that Jesus, speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am he which was, which is, and which is to come. Amen. I came to tell you, we serve an unmovable Savior this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24, amen, through verse number 25 says these words, but this man, this Jesus, amen, talking about him being our high priest, this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. In other words, the Bible is telling us, amen, that he was, he is, and that he will always be. He's not moving away, and the only thing that can move is us. And Paul said, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't allow yourself to get relocated. Don't allow yourself to be repositioned. Get in Christ and stay in Christ. Amen. We have an unmovable Savior this morning. We should not be moved because we have an unmovable word. We have an unmovable word. Psalms 119 verse 89 declares, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, amen, God said it, he wrote it, and it is unchanging. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19 that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? I came to tell you this morning, men will tell you one thing today and they'll change their mind tomorrow, but God is saying, I'm not a man that I should lie. If I said it, I'll do it. If I spoke it, I'll confirm my word. I came to tell you, we have an unmovable word in God this morning. We have a word that is forever settled, that we can run to, amen, to strengthen our faith. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8 declares that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Glory to God. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 24 declares that the word of the Lord endures forever. And this, Peter said, is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I came to tell you, we should not be moved because we have an unmovable God and an unmovable Savior and an unmovable word that is forever settled in glory. Hallelujah. Number four, we should not be moved, because we shall rule and reign with him in an unmovable kingdom.
So you want to talk about the hope of the gospel? Amen. I just want you to know we should not be moved, because there is coming a day when we are going to rule and reign with him in an unmovable kingdom. Let me give you some scripture for that. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 44. The Bible says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Amen. You know, I told you last week, Pastor, don't dance. That right there tempts me to try. We have a, amen, God is going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And he goes on to say, and it shall stand forever. Luke chapter 1, verse number 33, talking about Jesus, that he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, amen, there shall be no end. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28 said, "Seeing wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, amen, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear." In other words, there is coming a day when Christ is going to split the clouds of glory, and he's going to set up his kingdom upon planet earth, and you and I are going to rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I came to tell you this morning, don't be moved away and miss out on the glory that is to come. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We should not be moved. How many of you remember singing that old hymn, I shall not be moved. Amen. And some people really take that literally. I mean, you know, they come in church and go, "I bless me if you can, preacher. I shall not be moved. They mean it. Hello? I'm preaching better than you're shouting. No. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what that song is talking about. What that song is talking about is being resolute, continuing in faith, grounded and settled and rooted, unmovable, steadfast, anchored in Christ, not allowing anything to move us away from the hope of the gospel. Amen. We have an unmovable God. We have an unmovable Savior. We have an unmovable Word. And we are working this morning. Amen. We are living and striving to abide in an unmovable kingdom. And the only thing that is able to move is us. The only thing that can cause us to miss out is us. Don't be moved away from the unmovable. Now, let me give you just a few things this morning, and I'll quit. A few things that come along to move us. I'll give you just a couple of things that come along to move us. Error or false doctrine. I believe that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. I believe this morning that we need, amen, to not allow ourselves to try to line the word up with the way that we want to live, but we line up with the word. Hello? Amen. And false doctrine. How many of you know if you take a pistol and you mess with the sights, and if you're off at 10 feet, you're way off at 20. Hello? You take a rifle, and if you're a little on the right at 100 yards, by the time you get to 200 or 300 yards, you plumb missed your target. We need to be grounded in the Word, line upon line,
precept upon precept, lined up with the word of the living God. So be careful what you listen to. Did you know that Jesus came to his disciples and he told those that were listening to him speak, and he said to them, take heed how you hear and take heed what you hear. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life, because false doctrine and error, amen, come with just enough truth to lead us astray. Hello? I'm telling you, it's true. Just enough truth so that you swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and then wind up in trouble. Did you know that the Bible said in the last days that they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because they did not want to hear the truth? Did you know that the Bible said in the last days that folks would give heed to doctrines of devils? It's true. Be careful how you hear. Be careful, amen, that you don't allow. Be careful everything that is ministered to you and spoken to you, amen, whether it comes from without or whether it comes from within. Make sure that it lines up with the word of God, because everybody has opinions, amen, and everybody's opinion doesn't count. Only what counts is what thus saith the Lord. So false doctrine can move us away from the unmovable. Sin and temptation come to move us away from the unmovable. The scripture said that every man is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. This is how it happens. Every man is drawn away of his own lusts and is enticed. And when he is drawn away, amen, it says that that seed of sin is planted in his spirit. And when sin is finished, it brings forth separation or death. It brings forth separation from God. It brings forth spiritual death. Don't allow sin to move you away from the unmovable. Everything that we have is concrete. It's in him. All we have to do is continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It's on us. Don't be moved away through error. Don't be moved away through false doctrine. Don't be moved away through sin. Number three, don't be moved away with hardships and trials. Did you know that the enemy will come along and cause you hardships and trials and try to defeat you and try to discourage you and try to get you to just throw up your hands and go, well, what's the use? Hello? It's true. How do you, some of you are shaking your head like, yeah, he got that one right. How do you know that, preacher? I've been there. He's done the same thing to me. He's done the same thing to me. Amen. Don't get discouraged along the way. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In this world, he said, you will have tribulation. Amen. But be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. Amen. All we have to do when we face tribulation and trial is lean on the Lord. Hallelujah. And recognize that those trials and those tribulations come to move us off center, to move us away from the hope of the gospel. They come to challenge our faith and challenge our spirit and move us away from the Lord. There are so many other things that I could go on and on and on this morning about what comes to move us away. How about a bitter spirit? People get bitter. Well, they did me wrong, and they just get bitter in their heart, and they allow that bitterness to just take root and grow in their spirit until it finally just separates them from the love of God. How about an angry spirit, a jealous spirit? Amen. You could go on and on and on, but they are all from the enemy in an endeavor to move us away from the unmovable. Thank God this morning that He is concrete, that His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, we can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. He is unmovable. His word is unmovable. He is concrete, and His kingdom that is coming shall never end. The only thing that's movable is us. And I came to tell you this morning, or challenge you this morning, not to allow the enemy to move you away from the hope of the gospel. Paul says, this is what God's done for you. You were once alienated. You were once separated. You were once out of fellowship with God. But it pleased God, the Father, to send His Son so that in Him who all fullness dwells, that in Him, through the blood of His cross, He would be able to reconcile us back to God, make a way where there was no way. And then He says, and you were once alienated and separated. Now He has reconciled you unto the Lord. He brought you into His own house. Think about that for a minute. It would be like us driving down the street and seeing a homeless man that needed a bath and bringing him to our house and making him part of the family. That's what God did for us. He picked us up out of our sin, our iniquity, in our filth. And He said, I'm going to clean you up, call you my son, and call you my daughter. And I'm going to give you an everlasting kingdom. I'm going to make you part of the family of God. He said, now you have been made holy. You've been made holy. Can I just stop for just a minute to tell you that holiness, the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. Did you know that? Without holiness, no man shall see God. Well, how do you make yourself holy? You don't. It's nothing you can put on. It's nothing you can take off. Hello? It doesn't have to do with the length of our hair. It doesn't have to do with whether we wear jewelry or we don't wear bling. It don't have anything to do with any of that. Jesus Christ made us holy. He made us acceptable. Holiness is not something that we can put on. It's something we are given by the grace of God. He said, you've been made holy and acceptable and unreprovable. In other words, nobody can throw an accusation at you. Unreprovable. Now that's really big. How many of you ever had the devil come and jump on your shoulder and go, would you look what you did?
And you go, I know. I know, and I am so ashamed. And I'm repented of it. Yeah, but you still did it.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, but you still did it.
Yeah, but I've been justified by the blood of Christ. Justified through the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. If we repent of whatever it was that tripped us up, and we come to the Lord with a broken heart and a repentive heart, and we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said that He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And justification means just as if it never happened. And we are unreprovable. When the enemy goes to God and said, did you see what they did? The Lord looks down and goes, nope, I don't see that. I see the blood. I see the blood. They repented and they've been washed and they've been cleansed by the blood of Calvary. We've been made holy and acceptable and unreprovable in the sight of God. If we continue in faith. If we continue in faith, don't get the mistaken idea that once he saves you, now you stay saved by being a goody-two-shoe. Hello? No, listen, I'm telling you, we ought to be as good as we can be. But how many of you know we trip up sometimes? How many of you know we fail sometimes? How many of you know the Bible said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God? And that literally means that we continue every single day to come short of his glory. And what we do is fall on our knees and go, oh God, strengthen me and forgive me and wash me and cleanse me and make me clean by the blood of Calvary. Amen. Amen. Don't get the idea that that you become saved through faith and then now you got to be it. Now it's on you. It's not on you. It's still on him. We just need to remain in him, grounded and settled and rooted, and be not moved away from the gospel or the hope of the gospel. Is that picture up there? It is. I chose that picture for this sermon. You can't see it very good from where you are. Can you see it good enough? I saw that picture when the Lord began to put this message on my heart, and I love the roots of that tree. That's what we need to do. We need to just anchor ourselves in the Lord. Get rooted in the Word. Let our faith dig deep in the soil of the Word of God. Let his Word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Faith can move mountains. Faith can move obstacles. Faith can move tribulations and trials. Just get anchored down deep in the Lord. Get rooted and grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I got to quit. Bow your heads, please. Maybe you are here this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you have allowed something to come into your life, a situation, a circumstance, a need, a problem. Maybe you have allowed your own self to get in the way. But this morning you recognize that you've moved and you're not once where you were. You're not where you once were. You're not where you need to be. You've not become grounded and rooted and settled and anchored as he wants you to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you're preaching to me this morning. God bless hands all over the building, all over this sanctuary. Yes, yes. It happens so subtly. The enemy comes in just so subtly, and before we know it, we're not where we need to be. We're not where we should be. We're not where we once were. We've been moved away. We become ungrounded and unsettled and double-minded. Are there any more hands you'd be willing to slip it up and say, Pastor Gary, the message was for me. God bless you. I love you, sir. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Stand to your feet here this morning, please. Let's just bow our heads. And this is just between you and the Lord. Just as our heads are bowed and they begin to play softly this morning, let's just call upon the Lord and talk to him about our ungrounded ways, about how we've been moved and repositioned. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, with our head bowed, our heart humble, recognizing through the Holy Spirit that you are speaking to our heart. And we recognize that we have been moved off
of the mark. We recognize, Lord, that God the Father is unmovable and that our Savior is unmovable and the Word is unmovable and the kingdom which is to come is absolutely unmovable. But we ourselves have been moved away from the hope of the gospel. We've allowed little things to get between us and our mark. We've allowed little things to get between us and our relationship with God. Touch our hearts here this morning. Lord, you saw every hand. You see every single heart, Lord, and everyone right now that is calling upon your name. I ask right now, Lord, that as they call upon your name, you reach down and reposition them. Put them back on their mark. Put them back on their mark. Root them and ground them and settle them in Christ this morning. Let there be no shadow of any doubt that they are where they need to be. Bless and encourage and touch and minister as we call upon your name. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name.